You are listening to a sermon by Carla Funk, recorded on Sunday, July 5th, 2020, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
First of all, thank you for entrusting me with speaking to your congregation, because I know it must be a little bit like it's like you never know what you're going to get when you have a guest speaker. So I will do my best to bring the scripture, and I believe that the Lord has a word for all of us anytime we open the scriptures together. So thank you. Psalm 52 is a psalm that I don't think I've paid a great deal of attention to in all the years I've read the Psalms, but a few months ago as I was reading the Psalm, something jumped out at me, and it was the verse in particular, verse 8, where it says in the ESV, it says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God." In the 1984 New International Version, it says, "But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God." And that image stayed with me. Sometimes, you know, when you're reading a verse, there's something, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit just plants it. And this happened to be a tree, an image of a tree planted in my mind's eye, and it stayed with me. And so I began to study it. Now, a little bit of context for Psalm 52. The verses leading up to verse 8 are a bit of the psalmist sort of raging and railing over the evil. And there's one, the sort of wicked man. It's almost as if it's an archetype of anyone who does evil. And the psalmist is just sort of raging at the preposterously wicked actions of this evil man. There is a text alluded to in the epigraph to this psalm, and it's 1 Samuel 17, where there's a narrative of Doeg the Edomite who slaughters Ahimelech and a bunch of the priests in the temple. And that's a story that if you want to go and get some, you know, sort of have an idea of the archetypal evil man, you can read this text on your own. But David is raging and railing for about four verses. He says things like, "You love evil rather than good." He rages against the wicked tongue, the lying, deceitful tongue of this wicked man. And then in verse 5, he begins to, instead of outwardly speaking to this evil man, he begins to consider who God is. And he starts to say things like, "Surely God, you will bring this person, God will bring this evil man down to his ruin." And he talks about God uprooting this wicked man, or any type of evil one, uprooting him from the land of the living. But in verse 8, there's a turn with the line, "But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God," or "I am like a green olive tree in the house of God." And that turn, the reason that I think it stayed with me so much is that there is in the psalm, there is a fulcrum. And it made me think of how I used to stand up at the front of the poetry class. I taught for about 15 years at the University of Victoria. And I would stand up in front of my first year, second year poetry students, and I would emphasize to them, I had an entire lecture on the necessity of the poetic fulcrum. And a fulcrum is just a term we borrow from physics, really. And for those of you who know, I mean, think of a fulcrum like the point on which a teeter-totter pivots. It's a point of turning, a point of pivoting. And I would tell these students, every poem needs to have a fulcrum. A fulcrum is a sign that something is changing. It is the point of change or transformation where revelation is yielded. So a poem that hums along and just has one dominant emotion or one dominant thought without a turn, it's a sign of a flatlining poem. It doesn't go anywhere. There's no change, and change releases the revelation. And so I'm looking at Psalm 52, verse 8, and I see in here a fulcrum, and it's an image that's a fulcrum. Sometimes we look at the word like "but," and that itself, the conjunction "but," is a fulcrum. It's a sign that something's turning. But really, it's the image that's the fulcrum. It's the change. And we see in the psalmist that he begins to reflect not on the natural chaos, the natural destruction, the natural plane of evil that is happening all around him, but he begins to tip his gaze upward into the eternal, from the temporal into the eternal. Now, a few things about that particular image. I did a little studying on olive trees. If you want a fun study, go and look up in a concordance every mention of olives or olive trees, and you will keep yourself busy for weeks on end. But olives, in particular, the olive tree, I find fascinating that this is the tree the psalmist chose. A few things, I can't give you everything that's there, but I can give you a few things that stood out to me. An olive tree is a tree that is sustaining on a daily, temporal, earthly level, just the physical body. This is a part of that Middle Eastern culture where they get olives, they get olive oil, and it's in everything they eat. It is also filling the lamps that burn in the darkness of their homes. It's lighting their daily existence in the darkness. It's very much rooted to the daily, earthly, natural sustenance. But more than that, it is also connected to the anointing and the eternal sense of God's spirit. Every time a king or every time a prophet shows up, or even in the temple, olive oil is used as a sign of the anointing. It's the symbol of the anointing. So right within the image, this fulcrum image of the olive tree, you have both a recognition of being very much rooted in this natural plane, but also upward gazing to the eternal and the things of the spirit. Also, olive trees can grow for thousands of years. They can bear crops of olives for hundreds of years. In fact, the oldest certified olive tree is in Greece, and it's 2,000 years old, I believe. That tree is still growing, and a mature olive tree is a sign that a civilization is still standing, that there is a community still standing. And when I hear the psalmist saying, I am like an olive tree, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God, it speaks of a sense of the generational lineage of the kingdom of God. To declare, I am an olive tree flourishing in the house of God, is to declare that I am standing inside the network of roots that God has planted throughout the generations. And I will stand in the dwelling place of God. Olive trees are very resistant to decay. And one of the things that enemy invaders would do to a civilization is they would go and make cuts in the bark of the olive tree to try to make them susceptible to disease and susceptible to decay. And by nature, if they are not wounded trees, they will thrive and grow for hundreds and hundreds of years bearing fruit. And as a counter image, David sees the wickedness and he's saying, God is just and he will uproot the wicked. But when I stand firm and rooted and established in the dwelling place of God, I will be an olive tree that is green and flourishing. And finally, that word green, or that is sometimes translated flourishing, it's a word in Hebrew that is ra'anan. And the word itself is so much more than just green or flourishing. It's a word that conjures vibrancy, verdancy, thriving, a sense of bearing fruit, a sense of being connected to an infinite source of fuel that will sustain it and keep it going. So to say, I am like an olive tree flourishing, or I am a green olive tree, doesn't quite capture in the English all of the implications. The implications suggest that I am an olive tree that is alive right now, but as I stay rooted in the presence, the dwelling place of God, I will keep thriving forever and ever and ever and ever. I am an olive tree that will never stop flourishing and bearing fruit when I am staying rooted in the house or the dwelling place of God. I love the idea that you and me and all of these faces showing up in an online atmosphere are olive trees forming a grove of olive trees. And if olive trees are a sign of a healthy civilization, if an olive grove that is on the outskirts of a civilization, a community, if those olive trees are signs of a healthy community with longevity, a prosperous, maybe in the natural, but of course we know the natural speaks of the spiritual. If those are signs, then I think each of us in our own neighborhoods, in our own countries, in our own provinces, wherever we're at, we are forming this olive grove that is meant to be flourishing. And though we might not be physically gathered in the house of God, we are very much the house of God in the earth. We are very much the body of Christ, the temple filled, indwelled by the Spirit. And we form this olive grove as we stay rooted. The other thing that strikes me, just in closing, is that when the psalmist says, I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever, I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly, or some say in the presence of the saints. The posture of the psalmist becomes olive tree-ish. If you think about an olive tree rooting down and then the branches by way of the fuel of its roots, it's almost as if we can imagine the psalmist, and here the psalmist attributed to David, can imagine the psalmist in the temple just slowly lifting his hands and looking upward to the sense of the eternal, to the sense of God's sovereignty over all the chaos, all the destruction that he is seeing in the natural around him on that earth. And we see this upward gaze as if the branches of the olive tree are spreading out, stretching out, and lifting themselves toward a light that is feeding and fueling and allowing it to flourish. So my encouragement to all of us is that we would declare almost prophetically, I am a green olive tree. I am an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. And to let the truth of it result in worship of the one who sustains us, who is the fuel of our very flourishing and sustains us to the point where not only if we have breath in our lungs, we are called to worship, but to continue even passing through the veil, which we all will do, to just continue that flourishing into the eternal. So I am like an olive tree, a green olive tree flourishing in the house of God. You are like a green olive tree flourishing in the house of God. May we always trust in his steadfast love, and may our flourishing be a direct result of our closeness to a God who does indeed fuel us and feed us with his word and his Spirit and cause us to bear fruit that lasts. And that is what I would love to share with you today. So thank you so much for listening and having me as your guest.